Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessing. Glory be to God. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like, and we help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more, they're just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us now streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we're going to continue to talk about our series in the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322, that's 347-857-1322, or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2, and you can listen or chat with us online. It's my pleasure, as always, to introduce my co-host and partner in crime, if you will, just for the sake of the gospel, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri from God's Kingdom at Hand Ministries in Chesterfield, Virginia. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, I'm doing very well, very well. I got an excellent night's sleep last night, and I have some exciting news that I need to talk to you about when we get off the air today.
Amen, brother.
It's going to be exciting and change exactly what we're doing here today. So praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What's going on at church? Tell us about your church.
Brother, we're still continuing. We're meeting from 3 to 5 in the evening every Sunday. And we've been continuing with a series of the Kingdom of God. Yes, this last Sunday, we're looking at the kingdom being compared to the mustard seed. And brother, the word is good.
Amen. Amen. Well, that sounds absolutely. And we're excited about what you guys are doing over there, so we want you to keep on keeping on, if you will.
Amen.
I'm going to pray real quick. I think we're still in John chapter 12. I think we got through
chapter
about
12.
10 verses.
Yeah, we left off at verse 8, chapter 12, verse 8.
Verse 8, okay. All right, well, Father, we just want to thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather in your presence. We want to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And as we break the bread of life here, Father, we ask you to feed us and make us full. But then also, Lord, give us strength and the ability to take this word and go forward and do what it is you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, let me just kind of set this up a little bit. We were talking about last week about Lazarus.
Yeah.
And also Martha and Mary. And we had some pretty good information there in reference to Mary coming in there and using this expensive bottle of oil or perfume or whatever you want to call it, and anointing the Jesus and then wiping his feet with her hair, and how Martha was a little concerned about that. And of course, we know that Judas was very upset about that because he was you know, his philanthropic nature, wanted him to sell that for money and then, of course, give it to the poor, which would never see it. It would always end up in his pocket. So anyway, that was what it was all about. So I want to start in verse 9, and we'll go forward and see what happens. It says, "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus." I mean, here's a dead man that's been raised from the grave. So he was a spectacle. They wanted to see him, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For an account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So they, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests are starting to see their influence amongst the people dwindle and dissipate because of these miracles that Jesus was doing, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't conjure up any way of making it happen, so they were there for, they figured, you know, if we have a problem, let's kill it. Let's get rid of it.
That's right.
And they had no idea what they were doing anyway. So we go to verse 12, it says, "The next day," so after this happened, the very next day, "the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" Glory be to God. Now, give us some insight into that. There's some important stuff there, as far as him riding in on that donkey.
I believe this was prophetical. Definitely, it was prophetical, and it shows that Jesus was ready to fulfill the prophetic utterance, and in here he comes in, entering Jerusalem as the king. And of course, as we'll be continuing, you look at it, for them they were looking at him in the natural point of view, but I believe what Jesus was doing was spiritual. He's coming in as the king riding on the donkey, and they are looking at it on the natural point of view, but I believe it had a spiritual significance for the king coming in.
Well, isn't it also significant that he decided to make a grand entrance at this time? Because before then, he had sort of strayed away from personal confrontation, I guess, with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews. He was more doing this stuff under the radar, but this is a pretty triumphant entry into Jerusalem.
Right. Yes. Like you said, I think he knew that this is the right time that they have to recognize that he is the king. But like I said, and as we'll be continuing with John, he puts it so clear when you come to chapter 18, when Pilate is asking him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "You have said, 'For this cause was I born.'" But still, they were looking at it in the natural point of view, so to speak.
All right, well, let's take a look at verse 16. It says, "At first, his disciples did not understand all of this." That's nothing unusual. Mm-hmm. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Mm-hmm. Now, the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Glory be to God. Wouldn't that be nice if that was true today?
Yeah. But still, this shows you the power of the miracle. Just one miracle that happened. A man is brought back, Lazarus is brought back to life. People are being drawn to Christ because of it.
Yeah, and this is really, really, really putting a huge threat on the credibility of the scribes and the Pharisees, because they just don't know what to do with it. They really don't know what to do. They're frustrated because of their own inadequacies, and their own beliefs are falling apart all around them. So glory be to God. And they were, you know, their deal was they were into the law, so there was a strict set of rules that they had to go by, and this guy was breaking every one of them.
Exactly. So they wanted
he was causing havoc.
Yes. So they wanted to see, how can we stop the havoc? And that encourages me in the times that we are living in, that I believe this is the third time that God is ready to release his miracle-working power, in that no one will be able to say, no, it has not happened.
Wow. Mm. Well, you also notice here, too, that he was not moved one way or the other. And that's our example today. In the midst of all the chaos and the accusations and the accusations and innuendos and all this kind of stuff that's coming against the church, we have to remain unmovable, unshakable. It doesn't matter what they say, what they try to do to us. We need to maintain our presence in the Word, and then the Word will do exactly what he's doing right here, and that's shake up the whole world. Glory be to God.
Exactly.
Let's go to verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among these who went up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Now that is a powerful, powerful statement. And then he goes on in 27, he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a powerful, powerful statement right there.
Yeah.
And that's the boldness and the confidence that we have to have as disciples of Christ to go out here and do what he's called us to do. We have to know that there's going to come a point in time where it's all over. And when it's done, and we're finished. But until then, we need to keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Exactly. And I believe
in. And I love the seed analogy. He says, if it remains only a single seed, then it really that's all there is. And so what he's telling them here is that, look, he is the seed of life. Oh, glory be to God. I'm going to plant myself in the ground, and when I bring forth a harvest, it is going to be a bountiful harvest, and there will be many, many, many that come after me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so I still don't think, obviously, they didn't understand what was going on. They just didn't have a clue. But Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, number one. Number two, he was fulfilling the word of God. And number three, he was fulfilling his assignment. Glory be to God. Now, that's very, very important. Go ahead.
That's very true. And when you look at where you started on verse 9, they had come to kill Lazarus. Because when you look at verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Because if they would, that word also, not only did they wanted Lazarus to be dead, but they wanted Jesus to be dead. And here he comes in in the same chapter, verse 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he was very sure that it's not you who is going to do it. Now, this is written of me. I'm going to fall down. I'm going to die on the cross, be buried, rise up again. But when I'm rising up again, I'm coming up with so much fruit. Because if I just remain and I don't fall in the ground, I will remain a single seed. But look at what has happened over the years. We are the result of that same seed that fell in the ground.
That's right. That's right. Mm. See, and that's a very important point right there too, that we need to understand that alone. See, we're limited in our own ability, obviously by time and space, but we're
right.
also limited because it's just us.
Mm.
But if we can make disciples, if we can teach people how to do the things that we do, then we
that's
can
right.
use this process of duplication. That's exactly what he's doing here. Use
yes.
the process of duplication and really exponentially grow the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm so glad that's where we were at there.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Let's see. I think we are in verse 29, yeah, let's see here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, actually 28. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven that I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, this is in verse 34, verse 30, Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Again, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And the crowd spoke up, we have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And then Jesus said to them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When we have finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Glory be to God.
Glory.
So that's a powerful statement right there. I mean, that thing is
yes.
just, you know, whew, glory be to God. And so they still
you.
Didn't understand it. They didn't understand the difference between light and dark. They thought light and dark was like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with light and dark. That's good and evil.
Exactly, yes.
And so they didn't even realize that they were walking in this earth, and this whole earth is evil. It belongs
True.
To the devil.
Exactly.
Glory be to God.
And I believe when he spoke in verse from 31, when it says, now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, I don't think they fully understood that he was almost continuing on to where he started on verse 24, where we saw that he's talking about the corn, which he was referring to himself as the seed. Now, him being lifted up, of course, we know that will be on the cross, right? But I think
yeah.
they were not understanding. Sorry, go ahead.
So they still didn't understand it.
Yeah.
The devil understood it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not really, because if he had, he wouldn't have done it.
But yeah, so you get, I think a little glimpse about it. Okay, I think the way he was moving them to for him to be killed, he was thinking, okay, well, you're going to die. Well, so let's go ahead and kill him with Rasselas so that all of this commotion that is going on will be stopped. But Jesus knew that I'm going to be lifted up. Of course, that would be on the cross. If I'll be lifted up, I will draw all men. Because again, as I believe it's John who talks about it, that just like the snake was, the bronze serpent was raised up in the wilderness, and everyone that looked at him, of course, that's John chapter 3, you know, were healed, that were bitten of the snake. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, we see here that he's continuing on with the same, telling them that if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And they did not comprehend it. And then he comes to tell them that I am the light. And of course, to them, they are wondering, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I really like the part of there where he asked his father to glorify his name. And yes. Then God speaks and says, I have glorified my name. That goes back to what we talked about, I think it's Romans chapter 1 or chapter 8, verse 9 or something like, where he says, God is my witness. See, yes. God testified that Jesus was his son, that Jesus was the Son of Man, that he had glorified his name right there by answering that question. And those people thought it was just thunder. And yet they were the ones that the sign was given for. It wasn't given for Jesus. Jesus didn't know. They talked to his dad all the time.
Exactly.
But the people on the earth didn't know that, and that's what they needed to know.
That's true.
Hallelujah. Glory Thanks. Be to God. Well, the plot thickens here, and let's go to verse 37. Says, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. You know what? Speak to that. That is amazing. Even after you show them, after you show them, after you show them, they still don't believe.
No.
And if you tell them and you tell them and you tell them and you show them and you show them and you show them and they still don't believe, I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Now, that's a very good question. Because by this time, they had seen so many miracles. Now, this includes the one they were just looking at, that is Lazarus. But still, they did not believe. And that shows you how hearts can be so hardened by the enemy.
Wow, that's exactly it.
The light has failed to penetrate.
You know what? Maybe part of it is, you know, the word says that people like the darkness because their deeds are hidden. Maybe that's exactly what it is. They're afraid to walk out into that light because then all of their transgressions are going to be made known.
Exactly.
And God is a merciful God. I mean, he's a patient God, and he wants you to walk out into that light. So, he can expose your sin and iniquity. And I tell people all the time, never, never, ever pray this prayer. Lord, shine your light on my iniquity. I mean, boy, oh, boy, when you wake up the next morning, if you pray that at night, you better be ready because there is going to be a magnifying glass on you that's just, like, unbelievable. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah. And
but
I think
he does that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think, as we're saying, they were afraid that they're going to be exposed. And I'm reminded of that scripture in Matthew where it says, the people that sat in great darkness have seen light. Now, here, they were afraid that we're going to be exposed. So the better way to go about it is that let's just harden our hearts. We're not going to believe because we're going to be exposed.
And I mean, it doesn't, you know, hiding like that doesn't change anything. I mean, it just all it does is just attempt to cover the issue, and the issue is always still there. So you've got to have the intestinal fortitude to open up and look at yourself and come to grips with that. And that's what
right.
these folks were afraid of. I mean, they were more afraid of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, than they were Jesus. Now, here's
That's
a
right.
man here that can either give you or take away eternal life.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me that you'd rather kowtow to, well, never mind. We understand how that works. It's fear and it's intimidation and
yeah.
it's a lie from the pits of hell. But we have many in the body of Christ today that walk around exactly in that condition. They're scared to death.
Exactly.
You know, and when you realize that God is not a God of fear.
Mm.
He's a God of peace, and he wants you to have peace in your life, but in order to have true peace, you're going to have to go through some discomfort. You're going to have to get some things straightened up. And,
exactly.
And it's okay. He's like a dad. Mm. He's not there to destroy you.
Exactly.
Glory be to God.
I mean, it reminds me of the book, I think you are reading about it, where he's talking about
you still there? I think we may have lost Pastor Godfrey. Glory be to God. Well, anyway, let's move on, and we're going to go to verse 38. Verse 38 says, and this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For is the reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah said elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Glory be to God. Isaiah did this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. I think we got Pastor Godfrey back here. Are you back, sir?
Yes, sir. My phone just went off. Or just cut off.
Miracles of modern technology. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah. As we are talking about, but we got to go through some things. I was reminded of the book. I don't know if you're reading it, and I found that we also have it here, where this man of God was talking about the pruning, that in order to produce much fruit or more fruit, there has to be some pruning. But I believe that is the same analogy that here, the light has to be cast on some things, you know, in our lives in order to walk perfectly in the light. Because there are some hidden things in the darkness, and I believe here that's why they were hardening up their hearts, in that they felt like, well, if we just do away with him, we're not going to be exposed.
Yeah, you're talking about Wilkerson's Secrets of the Vine.
Exactly, yes.
Book. I recommend that everybody goes out and finds a copy of that and buys it. It will change your life. Well, as always, we have run out of time, so we're going to stop right here. We are at verse 41, so we'll start with, actually, we'll go back and recap. We'll start back at 37, go back through that one more time since we missed you a little bit there, Pastor. Thank everybody for joining us today. And again, stay tuned. We have some exciting news coming. We'll probably be ready to announce it next week. And we want to really encourage you to stay with us as we go through the book of John. I know this thing seems like it's been stretched out a long time, but boy, I'll tell you one thing. If you go back and listen to the podcast, whoo, there's some powerful meat in that thing. This ain't no French fry. This is a baked potato, I'm telling you. It's just awesome.
Hallelujah.
And so until next week, next Tuesday, y'all guys be blessed and let the Spirit reign.